My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
You're listening to Best Quality Vacuum, the duck feed show about the Vince Gilligan Breaking Bad universe. That's Breaking Bad, El Camino, and Better Call Saul.
Yeah, and this week we're talking about 38 Snub. Gary didn't plan this. Would have been wild
if I did. Is it episode 38?
It is episode 38.
Whoa!
I know, right?
That's going to confuse a lot of people. They're going to think the name of the episode is Snub. This is a typo. There's no Breaking Bad episode called Snub.
We abbreviate stuff, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. A BQV snub. A new kind of gun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is episode two of season two. It is after we have had our, you know, episode one of this is basically just a cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
This is our scene setting
episode
of this.
You did
literally
say
literally the only thing I remember.
You did say season
one thing
two?
From this episode. You, oh, season four.
Yes.
Yeah. Double it.
Okay.
Season two to the second power.
Yeah.
You
remember one thing from this episode. Sorry.
Yeah. It was literally just the opening cold open.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else could have been in any episode this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have believed you.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a bad episode or anything. It's just really doing work. Like, I would consider this episode to be workmanlike.
It's moving in a, moving in a direction, but it doesn't get there, right?
Yes.
Which, of course,
doesn't get,
it's
get very
arc.
Far.
Yeah. Let's say that. Yeah.
It begins a bunch of arcs, you know? Nothing wrong with that or anything like that. But it's something I remember about season four is having a few more of these episodes that don't have a very strong identity on their own.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if that'll hold true on this like close watch, but that's something I remember from previous rewatches.
Yeah, it does take a little bit to get going. I think we're still in this zone a little bit next week. So I don't know. Yeah. This was directed by Michelle MacLaren and written by George Masteris, and it originally aired on July the 24th, 2011.
Yeah. So new status quo. Walt tried to talk to Gus. Gus, you know, successfully talked Gus out of killing him and Jesse and into killing somebody else.
Yes.
And it's him, you know, this is an extension of the scene with Jesse and Walt at the diner.
Yes.
Walt is in scheme mode. Mm-hmm. He's coming up with a plan to murder Gus. Jesse is like, well, everyone knows where they're at. I'm going to die any day now.
Mm-hmm.
I have to, you know, make my life one never ending party to not think about that. And also not think about all the murders I did.
So I'm going to set about my life's work, which is creating a secular hell house.
Yes. it is a real nightmare. This is specifically aimed at us. It makes me think of that Key and Peele sketch.
Oh.
About like the two guys who it's like The Weeknd or something, and they're like never stop partying, but the song keeps going and it becomes clear that they're like stuck in a geese, you know, like they want to stop partying but they can't.
Yeah. Like Duffman. Yeah.
Very, very similar to Duffman.
So we also have Skylar. She's trying to make her move to buy the car wash because she sees that as safety for them if anybody comes looking. And we have Hank getting meaner and meaner with Marie. This starts becoming kind of directly abusive.
Yes, it's pretty hard to watch. You know, Marie is very saintly in this, and Hank is being a real asshole. Hank needs this. He went through a very traumatic thing. He's very used to being very self-sufficient. This is hard for him.
Yeah.
He also needs a purpose.
Yes.
And he's going to get that, you know, throughout the season.
Yeah.
We get two introductions in this episode. We meet Tyrus. Tyrus is the other hench goon of Gus here, played by Ray Campbell. In the script, he's just called New Victor, which is funny, even though Better Call Saul would go on to show that they're both under his employ.
Yes.
Previous to this.
Tyrus just had a different assignment. I just remark here on the eyebrows on this man?
Yeah. Like the kind of dead-eyed creeps that Gus employs are really great. You know, I love I don't think this is an intentional thing, but something that's really interesting once we start showing in Better Call Saul, Mike's hiring process.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mike's got his guys and there's so much humanity to the guys,
mm-hmm.
you know, like when they show, you know, they show the guys who are watching over the construction of the lab, things like that. And then the people Gus hires directly who are all these, you know, Agent 47 types like this.
It is impossible to imagine a Tyrus functioning outside of this, right?
Yeah. We also get Lost in the Arms Dealer played by the great Jim Beaver. I know Jim Beaver from Deadwood,
mm-hmm.
Standout role in that. The only probably good character in the show, like one of like three like good characters in the show, like unambiguously good.
Yeah.
I love Jim Beaver. I've always loved him since Deadwood.
Yeah.
He only gets two appearances, but it's like professionalism porn.
It's so good. Like, I love this guy's whole posture, his whole demeanor, right? Like he's a little bit of a mirror to Gale. To a degree,
sure.
Like he's providing this highly illegal service, but he has this high standard that he sets for himself in order to do it well and make sure people are getting what they need. Also, I really have a thing, I guess, that this archetype, I have a great amount of affection for the kind of Southern person who speaks with great precision. You know, kind of thing, like huge Major Garland Briggs vibes off of this guy.
We gotta watch Deadwood.
I know, right?
I understand. I keep saying this, but like it's all that.
Yeah.
I knew when I was formulating. I like that kind of thing too.
I knew when I was formulating that point that you would say, "Hey, if you like that, have I got a show for you?"
it's a big Deadwood thing.
Yeah.
The language is Shakespearean. Like it's incredibly precise and good. Yeah, he's great. Mm-hmm. I love Jim Beaver and I love this character.
Yeah.
Bogdan comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Eyebrows. I think it's funny that you said the eyebrows on this guy talking to Tyrus.
Yeah.
He's not an actor. He was cast because he has crazy fun eyebrows.
Mm-hmm.
He's a physics professor. So they had to fly him out for this part, for the scenes that he's in this season.
I had no idea he was a physics professor. I love that.
Yeah. He does a great job.
Mm-hmm.
In this. I love Bogdan.
Yeah.
And little trivia bits. Jesse's party scenes were really wild. They could not film them in the house. Mm-hmm. They had to recreate the living room as its own set.
Yes.
There are a lot of people in that horrible, horrible living room.
Yeah. And they destroy it. Like it is over the course of like the first half of this season, you know, it just becomes worse and worse.
Yeah. Yep. Let's get started here with that cold open, which is the thing I associate with this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Walt in a hotel room.
He's in a hotel room and he's, you know, looking into a mirror and he's, you know, pointing guns straight at the camera like it's the pilot.
Yep.
He's here for a meetup with an illegal arms dealer, Lawson. He wants something that will not be seen under clothes. You know, he's saying like, oh, you know, this gun, you know, can you see it? It's like, well, you know, it's pretty concealed, but any trained lawman will be able to spot that.
Clock it immediately.
Yeah.
You want the snub nose 38, this 38 snub, and gives him a concealed waistband holster.
Yeah.
You know, and Walter does not know about guns.
No.
You know, this would feel better if I cross drew. He's like, you know, you're not going to want to cross draw unless you're sitting down. So Walt sits down, you know, to try to do the version that feels more comfortable to him.
Yeah.
Weird parallel, with junior driving.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like the right way and the way that's immediately comfortable to you.
That is a really good pull, actually. I did not think of that.
It's not, there's not comparable.
No,
not knowing about guns is not comparable to cerebral palsy, but like it's,
yeah.
That's something I noticed during this. And there's there's humor in this episode as well. We didn't really mention this. This is a funny episode.
Yes.
Lawson's like, you're going to want to practice your draw.
Walt's just like fumbling around a lot of just like, hey, you're all fingers, so you know, and Lawson points out the reason why this costs five times as much as you otherwise would. The serial number is filed off, you know.
Yep.
This is untraceable, but also carrying this around is it's a felony.
Yep. He's and the dialogue in this is such a treat. Like, it's so delicious, you know, like Walt saying, like, assume that I know that, you know, this is not something I want to be caught with. And he's like, you'd assume, right? And when he says that's going to be expensive, he's like, that there's the reason you're going to pay me five times more than you'd pay at a gun store. You know, it's all just very, like, delicious, you know? And he's saying, basically, you know, I make a habit of not asking people their business, especially the ones not referred by the lawyer. But why don't you just go get a gun?
Yeah.
You know, are we talking strictly self-defense? And I love Cranston's performance during this too. Yes, absolutely. You know, which is kind of true in his mind, right? Like there's arguably he thinks so.
I'm the one who did the paint job.
And Lawson says, if it's personal defense, like, just go get a gun.
Uh-huh.
You know, this is the West boss. Somebody comes, you know, step into your property, you're within your rights to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
Some people consider that a moral right. I consider myself among them, you know. And Walt just, he elides the question.
Yes.
You know, he's like, no, this was perfect. It's for defense.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
And, you know, technically true. He is in danger, but they're talking about very different circumstances.
Yeah. It's also the degree to which he is in danger right at this moment is something he's exacerbating.
Yeah.
You know, for fun, because for the love of the game, you know, he doesn't want to leave the game.
No. So we have Mike. We're checking in on people here. We have Mike. He's sitting in a bar during daytime and just reading a newspaper and stressing out, notices some dried blood on his cuff. We're going to come back to this bar. I love this bar. I would go here.
Every bar in the show looks great.
True.
To me.
Yeah.
Yeah. This isn't quite as good as the homie bar to me that, like, mm-hmm. You know, Jesse and Walt go to that looks like a basement, but mm-hmm. I do like this bar a lot.
Yeah. Go over to Jesse's place, and he is trying to fill the hole in himself with possessions. He has set up this huge stereo system, you know, towering speakers, just a whole rack that's as tall as him, right?
It's possessions, but it's also specifically noise.
Well, yes.
You know, like something, we listen to a lot of podcasts when we're just walking around.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that's something that ebbs and flows depending on how my mental state, like whether I can just be alone with my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm doing well if I can take a walk without my headphones.
Yes.
You know, if I can't do that, then I'm not doing as well. And Jesse is in a permanent state now of not being able to take a walk without his headphones.
Right. I put it under the umbrella of possessions because he also got a Roomba.
Yeah, that's true. And at the time was a real status symbol.
And obviously he cannot live with himself because he murdered somebody. He's been around a lot of deaths, you know, associated with them. But this is the first time that he pulled the trigger. And Jesse, for all of his talk about being the bad guy, he's soft.
Yeah. 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 He's sensitive, you know, Skinny Pete Badger bangs on the window, him and Skinny Pete come in and they're admiring the sound system. And Jesse's just hitting him up with all this technical detail that is lost,
mm-hmm.
you know, on these idiots, of course, you know, and then, later he starts crushing up meth. You know, mm-hmm. and Badger and Skinny Pete look at each other. You know, Pete's like, you know, I love this little bit here. Badger looks at Pete to say it.
Uh-huh.
You know, hey, bring it up. And Pete's like, hey, you know, I saw Andrea at the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Jesse goes, you know, okay, and then offers them the joint. You know, Pete says, you know, hey man, I can't 12 steps. And then, you know, Jesse says seriously, and then pushes over to Badger, and Badger, you know, being slightly more given.
Yes.
To the darker angels of his nature,
mm-hmm.
says maybe just a little bump.
Yes. And then puts his head down out of camera. He doesn't do a bump. He does the entire rail. And then, when his head comes back up, it's much later, many more rails later. And they are having a tweaked out conversation about the best zombies in video games.
Yeah. This is very cute and very mm-hmm. funny.
Yeah.
Makes me wish that I was the video game consultant on all video games. There's so little DNA between Left 4 Dead and Resident Evil 4.
Wild.
In terms of how they play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't actually believe these dopes would really get Resident Evil 4, and I understand how that makes me sound. But I do kind of believe it, you know? Whereas Left 4 Dead and Call of Duty World at War Nazi Zombies is just guys rushing at you and you shoot them.
Yes. You know? Yeah. There's a broader missing the point here too, because they're talking about Resident Evil 4, and anybody who doesn't listen to our video game show is
going to be mad.
Is so mad at us. But they're talking about Resident Evil 4, and they're saying like, oh, that, you know, that
how
chick you
Ashley
rescue.
Is.
Yeah. You know, she's so hot. You know, like, are you telling me that, like, you wouldn't get that? Like, you're the last two people on Earth. Resident Evil 4 is not a directly apocalyptic scenario.
No, you're not the last two people on Earth. That is the president's daughter. Put some respect in your mouth. you know, and then, you know, they go through Skinny Pete's making an argument from challenge, know, Badger's making an argument from fantasy.
Yes.
You know, the Call of Duty zombies are Nazi zombies. Mm-hmm. You don't have to feel bad about killing them. They're the Talibans of the zombie world. Really funny to me.
This goes on for so long.
I could watch this for eternity. Oh, yeah, I could watch an entire show that was just these two idiots talking about games.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not saying
give them
that.
A podcast on our network. Like,
hey Matt Smith. Hey Matt Smith, yeah. If you're listening, open invite, bud.
Yeah, in character. We, I mean, you know, we know somebody who knows Matt Smith. We could get Matt Smith on the show.
We could,
no problem. Yeah. So they asked Jesse. They're like, hey, where do you come down on all this? And like, agree, totally.
Yeah. I mentioned how long it goes on specifically because Jesse has not been participating. He is just focused on setting up the next rails. And then you know, it makes it even funnier when it's like, hey, weigh in, solve this. And he's like, nothing. He just agrees. He's not listening.
Music ends and Jesse says, you know what this needs? You know, and then we cut to this gigantic party. Yeah. I don't know where all these people came from. I guess if you just say free drugs and booze
in
Albuquerque, people show up. But how do they know all these people is the thing I kept thinking because I'm old.
They've got dealer connects, right?
Yeah, so many dealer connects, though. There's like 40 people here out of nowhere.
Oh, come on. Come on. You think there were...
I don't know 40 people.
But you're not a dealer, Gary.
Well, the things you don't know about me could just about fucking fill the Grand Canyon.
Okay,
so
okay.
Let's not.
Sorry, I never thought to ask. Yes. All right.
Well, yeah, okay. Exactly. Well, and if you ask, I have to tell you. it's a nightmare party. This would kill me.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
All the diegetic music in this stuff in this thing are either like bad remixes of old good hip-hop songs, a couple good old hip-hop songs, and then some absolutely embarrassing like sneer metal, like sneer kind of stuff. I don't know how to describe it, but it's hard to listen to.
It's pretty rough stuff, and it's only gonna get worse from here.
Nobody's having a good time in season 4. Walt's over at his condo. He's practicing drawing his pistol from a seated position, just dry firing in an empty chair, you know, picturing Gus.
Don't dry fire.
I mean, he could go to a gun training thing to learn how to do gun.
Yeah.
He wants to make sure he accidentally kills Junior. That's the most statistically likely thing that happens with this gun.
Yes.
We cut over to Hank. Hank's looking at one of his minerals through a magnifying glass. And while he's sleeping, you know, it's nighttime, Marie slowly reclines the bed up to look.
Yeah, yeah.
And
he's not doing it while he's sleeping. That would be an entirely different level of deterioration. Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's sleep time.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And he's being a huge asshole. She's like, hey, can you not sleep? You know, or you're looking at this at 2:24 a.m. And he's just like, you know, no, like this is, first of all, this is not a rock. It's this. And he's giving all this detail about the crystal structure and shit.
Yeah. Where, you know, where it came from, all of this, you know, and he just, God, I hate this land so much. He says, you know, last I counted, Marie, there are 4 bedrooms in this house, you know, if you're trying to sleep. And she's disgusted. Real
horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible thing to say.
I do love using the reclining bed for entry and exit from a frame.
Yeah,
that is very funny in terms of blocking, but
what an asshole though.
Yeah,
she she goes back to sleep, reclines out of frame. Walt's packing his lunch for the day at work, and Skyler calls, and he lets it go to machine.
Yeah,
you know, while he's playing with his gun,
dropping the bullets.
slams his head on the counter. He does not know gun. And then she starts bringing up, you know, she's like, hey, I haven't gotten money in a long time. The bills are piling up. Also, we need to talk about that car wash. And Hank Walt picks up. He's not being reasonable here. He's just
not at all
mad at everything. He's a big exposed nerve, you know, and is calling her out for bringing up a car wash on the phone.
Yeah.
And she brings up like, well, the whole point of this is that we can talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we're not hiding anything.
It's not incriminating that we're planning on buying a car wash. In fact, all the shit that you are saying right now is way more incriminating.
Yeah. Way more suspicious. You dope. You know, she threatens to go directly to Saul.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, I will handle it. I will handle it. You know, classic Walt refrain.
Yeah. You know, and it's later in the day, Jesse, or, you know, it's still that morning rather, and Jesse, at his place, everybody's sleeping it off, just directly on the floor wherever they fell.
Yeah. Oh my God. I hate my party days. I'm like thinking back to this and just the feeling of the sun coming in after like a big drinky night like this
Yeah.
or like a Roomba hitting me when I was in this mode. Oh, like, man. I would fight the Roomba and win.
I am very thankful that in all of my drinking, I never fell asleep directly on the floor.
Which it's not great. You don't feel good.
No.
God, I am so glad that part of my life is over.
Oh, it's a man.
Getting older kind of rocks. Like, we're talking about it in the green room. I like fucked up one of my tendons sleeping.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, Gary, were you pushing your body to the limit? Were you, you know, on the tennis court? No, I was sleeping and I fucked up my body enough to like be an injury. And that sucks. And it's not the first time I've done it. You know, not the first part, you know, it's multiple parts of my body, but I will probably trade that for not living like this.
Yes.
This just seems so intensely miserable to me.
Mm-hmm.
I know that makes me sound like a square, but no. I cannot handle it.
And it's just like, I had stuff approaching this, right? Not with other people, around mostly, but
it was like, well, alone, it's less sad.
Right. But it's like, what a relief. What a relief that you just don't you don't have to do that.
Yeah. I'm just not going to do that. Yeah. It's fucking bizarre to put myself in that mindset of like, no, I have to do this because if I don't, I might miss out.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Roomba's moving around, it's a POV shot from the Roomba. They stick a GoPro on the Roomba.
Also, they didn't stick a GoPro on the Roomba. This is not navigating like any Roomba ever has. It's not running into things. Yeah. It would be so much funnier if it ran into people and did its wayfinding like that.
Yeah. It hits a couple people, but not the way the Roomba really would.
Yes.
The technology's not there for Roombas to be this smart.
No. The soundscape on this, just hearing the thumping sound.
Yeah.
You know, just somebody at this party where everybody is hangover, just throwing a ball against the wall.
Ba-bum, oh, my ba-bum, God.
Ba-bum,
the guy ba-bum. Would die.
Yep.
Like, I'd fight everybody in this party.
Yeah.
You know, a weird tweaker picks up the Roomba and starts trying to take it apart as Jesse walks by, and Jesse doesn't stop him.
Yeah.
You know, and Jesse, this is like the turn. Jesse wakes Badger, you know, Badger hits Skinny Pete in the ass, you know, and wakes him up, and Pete punches him really hard. He's like, you're way too sensitive about your zone, man. and Badger, you know, Jesse says, I gotta go to work. Mm-hmm. And Badger's like, cool, you know, I'll start cleaning the place up. It's the least we can do.
Yeah.
And Jesse goes, no. Here's some money for breakfast and liquor. You know, I want this place kicking like a sensei when I get back. Keep it going. Like, the party cannot die. If I'm not at work, I have to be listening to this music. And they do a great cut where they're listening to some horrible fucking song on the stereo. Mm-hmm. And he's listening to the same song really loud in his headphones.
Yes.
He's bringing this, I cannot be alone with my thoughts, with him wherever he goes.
Yeah.
He cannot take a walk without his headphones.
This flame can't go out because he cannot go home to a dark and cold house. Right.
Yep. Yeah. So he arrives. You know, he arrives at work. Walt arrives, sees him weighing the bins, listening to his headphone, and Walt conceals his gun in the holster in his locker very clumsily.
And the door opens and we hear somebody walking in, and Walt seems prepared to draw. It's real tense, but it's a new guy. This is new Victor. This is Tyrus.
Yep.
And he's here for the shipment.
I love Jesse. Like, you the new guy? Yeah. He's like, you got something for me? Yeah. Like, he's just, you know, weirdly also professional. Because he understands what's going on. He's no longer playing the game.
Yeah.
You know, and Mike comes in and says, you know, how much we got? Tyrus tells him, he says, weigh it again. New policy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New order here, right? Everything is being battened down, you know?
Yeah.
And Walt asks, like, hey, where's Gus? I wanted to speak with him. I wanted to clear the air. And this is where Mike says, you're never going to see Gus again.
Yeah. Great line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Skylar has Holly in the car. She's watching the car wash from across the street, making notes about cars getting services here so she can do her plan.
Yes.
Hank struggles, you know, down the hallway with his walker with his physical therapist. And he's into it.
Yep.
You know, the therapist is cheering him on and he's, you know, grunting and stuff and into it until Marie comes out and starts cheering him on. Like, he gets to the bedroom, collapses, he high fives the therapist like, fuck yeah. But then Marie holds up a high five and he almost leaves her hanging.
Yeah.
Like, he cannot
unthinkable.
He can't be this in front of Marie. Absolutely unthinkable, but also just like very, it's what's going on with him. Like, he cannot be this in front of Marie. That's unacceptable. It's okay for this person who it's their job to do this. And there's also like the sub theme of this episode in the season of people having an emotion and having no good outlet for it and just blind firing.
Yes.
You know, like the feelings Hank is having are, he does not understand them.
No.
It's just like a negativity hose that has to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And Marie's always there.
Yes.
You know, so Marie gets it.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking awful. It's really, really hard to watch.
Oh, it's terrible. You know, especially terrible to watch Marie, you know, following the therapist out to the door, just desperate for any kind of connection.
Yeah.
Right. Like Hank is trapped here. You know, Marie, you know, she has, I don't even know if she's still going to work right now or if she's just on leave.
We started with her like, there's a scene where it's her emptying a bedpan. Like, I assume she's not.
Yeah.
You know, if she's doing that, I assume that she's stay at home care.
Right. But you know, she's trapped too, and there's nobody to really connect with, you know, and ask like, hey, you know, do you want to go full time? We have plenty of bedrooms, you know, and he laughs and, you know, just kind of says a platitude like, oh, we got to take it one day at a time, you know, and it just kind of like, doesn't really even address it.
Yeah. Marie goes to Hank and says, hey, I was thinking about making dinner, and he just goes, get out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she starts crying and leaves. He was celebratory. When he was with the physical therapist, like he is making progress. It's brutal to watch.
And this is so real too.
Yeah.
The, you know, any kind of long-term care, long-term therapy or whatever, this is absolutely the case where like the person puts on the face for the professional who comes in and then is just completely different, completely worse when they're not there. Right.
Yep. Yeah. It's tough stuff.
Yeah.
Pizza arrives at Jesse's. They're those gigantic pizzas from the roof pizza place, and they talk about that.
Yep.
I find this is also very funny.
Yeah.
Again, I would, the podcast with Badger and Skinny Pete is a great idea. They're like, you know, they don't cut the pizzas and they pass the savings on to you. And he's like, how long did it take to cut a pizza? He's like, well, listen, man, it takes like what, 10 seconds to cut a pizza. You do 10 million pizzas a year over 10 years. That's
think of all the manpower. I don't
know. Yeah, think of all the manpower.
I just now put it together that what Badger is doing here is a stoner incompetent version of what Skylar does it later.
Oh, sure. Yeah. The same kind of, you know, yeah, exactly. It's very good.
Yeah.
It's also such an awful idea. And the Skinny Pete's like, you got some scissors? I'll cut this shit right.
Yeah. Like, you know, when literally the answer is sometimes you order a pizza uncut because it stays warm longer.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's very funny. This
thing. Yeah.
But Andrea shows up, you know, she looks disgusted and Jesse goes out to talk to her. You know, Jesse asks about Brock and Brock's in the car watching, which is very sad. Again, the cutest kid in the world.
Yeah. And he starts getting out. Andrea tells him to stay there. Right.
Yeah. We'll catch up later, little man.
Yeah. And you know, she's, you know, he starts trying to make excuses and she says, no, I'm not here to torture you. Like you don't have to dance for me. I'm here to ask about this. And she produces a huge envelope full of cash. You know, one night the guys who killed my brother, they're killed brutally. And then this money shows up, you know, like,
yeah. Was that you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what, you know, she's like, I don't want to know what you have to do with this, but I want to know if anyone's going to come looking for it. And he goes, no, mm-hmm. no, absolutely not. She says, what am I supposed to do with this? And he goes, use it, get out of that shithole neighborhood or blow it all on glass. I'd have no way of stopping you, but I've got to believe you won't do that.
Yeah. Horrible thing to say.
She doesn't respond. Yeah. Horrible thing to say.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't respond. She just walks away and Brock waves sadly.
Yeah. And you know, we're hard on Jesse for falling into this arc. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's because we love Jesse though.
Yes. Yeah. But also like, it's a horrible situation that he's in because what does he do? Tell somebody who's in the straight world that he killed a person.
Yeah. And you can't like do necessarily therapy for this.
Yeah. Any kind of revelation or catharsis he could get implicates not just him, but her too. Right. Yeah.
And you know, exactly implicates him and endangers him.
Yes.
You know, he's seen a direct example of what happens when you fuck with this shit.
Yeah.
There. And literally the only person in the world, you know, who could understand it is Walt. And Walt is still Walt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Walt's still playing the game.
Yeah.
You know, he's not here to process. He's here to keep, like, in a way, they're both like, let's keep playing so we don't have to deal with shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but Walt is still playing the great game.
Yeah.
You know, the cat and mouse stuff. And Jesse is, I just need to distract myself.
Yeah.
Neither of them are able to process.
If the music never stops, none of us has to find out there's not a chair for us.
Yeah, we have to pick a chair. Exactly.
Yeah.
And Walt does that until season five.
Yes.
You know, like he doesn't get there. Jesse gets there.
Yes.
Sooner than that. Walt doesn't.
Yeah.
So sad shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of Walt, he's got a terrible plan because he knows where Gus lives.
Yep. I'm going to show up to his house. That'll work. This scene's great.
I love this really, so really much. Tense. It's so tense.
Yeah. It's really good. Drives up, you know, checks his gun, looks over, looks at his Heisenberg hat. It's like, yep, I'm going to need you. The music starts and starts walking towards Gus's house. You know, like he's going to open the door. The camera's right behind his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And then the phone rings. And it's Tyrus that just says, go home, Walter. And Walt looks around and sees nobody there.
Yeah.
Nobody, like there's no way he could be watching him, but they know where he's at all the time.
Yeah. We see in Better Call Saul that this place is wired for sound, like everywhere around it. You know, and also in Better Call Saul, there's an amazing echo of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah.
We get a scene here where the doorbell rings and as Maria is washing out bedpans, mm-hmm. and it's a courier with tons more rocks.
Yeah.
You know, Hank's like, hey, how many boxes are they damaged? I'm not paying for them, you know, shit fuckers to damage my boxes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you check them for damage?
And he's yelling at her for letting the guy leave. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's getting sick of it.
Yeah.
You know, she's in the next episode, she's going to start backsliding because everybody doesn't know what to do.
Right.
With these emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah.
Skylar's about to make her move as well. I just all of this is people attempting something and being rebuked, you know?
Yes. According to the wiki, they've all been snubbed.
You know? I don't want to give the wiki credit, but like when you list it all out, like, yeah, okay, everybody's getting whatever.
It is what's happening. I don't know how, you know, that could be the cleverness of the titling.
Maybe,
you know, that's fine. It's fine.
I don't, yeah. But she is going in for a meeting with Bogdan at the car wash, you know, and she's like, I'm here to, you know, to make you an offer, you know, please name your price. And Bogdan is chauvinist about it.
He says 10 million.
Well,
he's not chauvinist about it. He says, you know, $10 million.
The chauvinism is, you know, very specifically like, you think you're going to be here, get down, you know, get on your knees and, you know, polish those rims, you know,
gasly euphemism.
Yeah.
That's when she goes, well, what about a price? And he goes, $10 million,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she thinks she's playing hardball. You know, she says, how about $879,000?
Mm-hmm.
He says, you know, did you pull that out of nowhere? And she goes, no. And she shows her work.
She has binders.
Yep. She shows her work on the math she did, the average customers, et cetera, figure out the overhead, the property value and stuff, and added $50,000, not to be insulting. And Bogdan gets a badass moment.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, okay, $20 million.
Yes.
You know, you think I don't know who you are. That is the price for Walter White.
Yes.
You know, he grabbed himself. He kicked over my air fresheners. And now he doesn't have the courage. He sends his woman to go buy this for me. You know?
I love. Just he very specifically remembers what Walt did. It is very, very it has stuck with him a lot. Yeah.
It's a delicious moment.
Yeah.
You know?
And this is going to lead up to, you feel bad for Bogdan, you know?
Yep.
Terrible boss, but also, you know.
He does get screwed.
Yes.
You know, by the white machine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Another great scene here. So Mike, he's still at his bar, right? This time he's actually sitting up at the bar. He was at a table before, and he's watching a Saul commercial for the mm-hmm. Wayfarer airline settlements. The tastelessness of this, the big exploding clip art airplane.
I love it. Yeah, it's very funny to me.
Yeah.
And Walt walks in and Mike, you know, he's been following Mike. Mike calls mm-hmm. him out. You might want to learn to tail better if you're going to make a habit of it. You know,
you're going to want to practice your draw. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really good. You know, Walt's, you know, just because you shot Jesse James doesn't make you Jesse James. Walt is pretending, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And Walt is here to make peace, to make an appeal, offers to buy him a drink. And Mike says, you know, why not? You make a hell of a lot more than I do. So he's going to take his drink. And Walt makes his pitch, starts trying to explain himself, offering justifications, saying, you know, I did what I did out of loyalty, you know, to Jesse and also out of self-defense.
Yep. You know, I hope you can appreciate that, just like I appreciate that when you were going to kill me, you were just following orders. I harbor you no ill will. And Mike, you know, now I can rest easy. You know, Walt goes at that point, he says, you know, listen, you know, I'm just trying to. And Mike goes, I know what you're trying to do. Drink your drink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Walt starts in on his play, you know, and just, you know, Mike is immune to this kind of shit. Mike sees him immediately through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, a hell of the last couple of weeks makes a man wonder where he stands. I say, idly out of nowhere. You know, I love this scene so much. This is really good.
The presumption on Walt that this is not exactly what Mike has been doing this entire time. Thinking about what Walt brings up, like, oh, did you realize that maybe you're working for a very dangerous person?
Yeah. Or if you didn't know that already, you know, from how long you've worked there, you know, like what are, you know, you are the one who fucked this up. Mike has gotten to an area of equilibrium, right? Yes. So like this is going into Better Call Saul stuff. Better Call Saul and Saul ends with Mike being called out for being complicit in all this shit.
Yes.
Because of a horrible thing that happens. It's a great scene.
Mm-hmm.
His arc ends in that show. That's how the show ends.
Yeah.
And in the intervening years, he had gotten to a place of stability. Mm-hmm. Where like he's doing the work is evil. It supplies this poison drug to everyone, but it's not barbaric.
Yes.
You know, is the idea. And Walt, with his pride and his ego and all of his bullshit, has made it that again. You know, he has fucked it up.
Yes.
Like he was able to look the other way, you know, and live with himself. Mm-hmm. And now it's more difficult. It's complicated. It's all in danger because of Walt.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of contempt he has for Walt from this point on is so incredibly fun to watch. Like, God is a treasure.
Yeah.
You know, Jonathan, you know, Jonathan's a great treasure.
Yeah.
You know, so Walt brings up what happens to Victor, you know, and Mike goes, you know, you got that piece on you? Like, where it makes you feel better, but it's not going to make a difference.
Yeah.
You know, if it comes down to it. And Walt says, no, listen, you and I are in the same boat. You know, what the hell was that? A message? And this is, you know, this is the first time I'd ever heard this line and I use it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you won, Walter, you got the job, do yourself a favor and learn to take yes for an answer.
That's like such a good line. Yeah.
Learn to take yes for an answer. And then this is when Walt makes his play, you know, hey, just get me alone in a room with Gus. I'll take care of it. You don't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mike's getting furious at this.
Yeah.
You know, he's pushing past the clothes. If you look online, people seem to think this is because Mike cares very much about loyalty.
No,
that's not how I read it. Yeah. Like that's the internet interpretation of this. And I know the internet is wrong about everything. So I'm not surprised by that, but he's not mad because Walt isn't being loyal. That's insane.
Yeah.
You know, it's because it's not going to fucking work.
It's not.
And also it's not what he wants.
Yeah.
Like
it's not going to be because like you said, there was stability before. Right. And here is Walt, who, because of his pride, has forced everything into this crisis and saying, help me kill the person who pays you and guarantees you a certain amount of security. So you can just be left to twist in the wind without a way to support your family.
So we all can be.
Yeah.
Like Walt doesn't have an exit plan.
No.
You know, and I love that the show continues past that. Like there are people who think, you know, who don't like Breaking Bad after the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but to me, it's really interesting to make Walt twist in the wind for not having that exit plan.
Yes.
Like him trying to be a Gus Jr. ultimately ends up fucking everything up way worse, you know, and him having to face the consequence for that, I think is really important to the show.
Yes.
You know, and I love this little bit, you know, Mike goes, are you done? And Walt puts on a voice, the Heisenberg voice, and goes, yeah. And it's the same voice he used when he's like, your boss is going to need me. Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, it's the exact same voice. And Mike kicks the shit out of him. Like, and it's great.
Punches him, gets him to the floor, and then just starts kicking him. I love how there are people like at tables, like it's not full, the bar isn't full, but there are people who just do not react to this.
Yeah, they're like, whoa. Like somebody goes, whoa. Yeah. And just goes, thanks for the drink, and leaves. Yeah. It's so good. It's perfect scene.
The episode ends back at Jesse's. People are leaving the party, you know, including Badger and Skinny Pete. Like, despite what, you know, despite all of Jesse's efforts and his resources, he is not able to convince people to be here all of the time. Badger, you know, Badger and Skinny Pete are leaving. You know, like, hey, you know, I haven't slept in 3 days. Maybe I'll see you next week. You know, Badger's like, I'm turning into a slea stack.
Yeah, Sleestats are the reptilians from Land of the Lost. In case anybody is under the age of, you know, 1,000. And then Badger has a little, you know, Badger's like, yeah, I think I've got this cat and like I'm supposed to feed it. You know? Poor kitty.
Both and they're like, hey, you know, how just about immediately concerned about the cat.
Yeah. Well, it's a good kitty, I bet. Yeah. You know, and they're gonna leave, they're like, hey, we'll do next week. And Jesse goes, Yeah, next week. Okay, that's cool. And you're like, are we cool? Just goes, yeah, we're cool. And they leave, but Jesse's not cool.
No.
You know, sets down in front of the subwoofer, absolutely pumps the volume, and just starts shaking and crying as this horrible song is vibrating him.
Yeah. You can see the cones of the speaker just bouncing visibly.
Yeah, pounding him.
Yeah. Apparently, so there are, like, they couldn't figure out how to do this. You know, without deafening, Aaron Paul. So they like asked around, they tried a bunch of different stuff and they went to a stereo store and like, hey, this is the effect that we're trying to achieve. I'm like, oh yeah, no, here are these things. They're called bass testers that will make the speakers do that without producing sound.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. And so that's what's there. And the music is like synced and put in post.
Oh, here I thought Jesse, or here I thought, Aaron Paul was dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
And would just go deaf, but I guess not. Yeah, fake actor. And that's the episode, which like in recounting it, I think I like this episode a little bit more than I feel like I like it, if that makes any sense.
Right? Yeah.
Like a lot of the scenes are really, really good. It's just very much a moving stuff into place episode,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. We need those every once in a while.
Yeah.
And I'm also like, I will say, even though I like the scheme they do, I am not particularly compelled by Skyler buying the car wash as a subplot in the early part of the season. I don't think it's that fun to watch other than this scene. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's that interesting.
No.
You know, it's a lot of time buying a car wash.
Yes.
You know, which is just not super exciting to me. I think it's the least compelling storyline that's going on right now, mm-hmm. personally.
Yeah. Fortunately, there's not much more of that. Like, we get the scheme, we get to meet Kubi, and then, you know, Skyler gets more interesting stuff to do when the hammer comes down on Ted, right?
Yeah. The Ted stuff makes this interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks everybody for listening.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. I feel like we did. It feels like a short episode, but also I think this is just how long the show is.
Yeah.
You know, like we covered everything. We don't, you know, I don't feel like we gave anything short shrift. So this is a 45 minute long Andrew.
Yeah, that's fine. No. If you want to support us, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and kick us a couple of bucks a month. Get a bunch of bonus content. If you like our media discussions, we have a monthly show about horror movies called Unfilmable. Mm-hmm. You were not immediately turned off by our discussion of how this show gets Resident Evil 4 wrong, you can check out our many
podcasts on Resident Evil. Resident Evil 4 specifically.
It is the one game. It's not the one game we've recorded the most about. It's probably the one game outside of a Dark Souls or like Baldur's Gate that we have not, that we have recorded the most about.
A single game. You know, we've recorded more. We probably recorded with the Retronauts and stuff we did as many hours as we've done about like Witcher 3.
Yes.
Between the remake, the original, and that.
Mm-hmm.
Resident Evil 4, I think, is. one of the things that is, other than Dark Souls 1, is perfectly in our Venn diagram.
Yes.
In the center of it. So it is near and dear to our hearts. Mm-hmm. And will we ever cover Call of Duty World at War zombie mode? Time will tell.
Time will tell. But we did have an episode about Left 4 Dead.
We did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one about Call of Duty 4.
True.
Tons of things. We've been doing this for like more than a decade. It's stupid. Lots of things. Check them out.
Yeah. I'm moving our shows over, not moving. I'm getting our shows on YouTube, YouTube Music. So people will be able mm-hmm. to listen to that. But I say that by way to say, like, there are, 4,500 and change episodes that need to be ported over and uploaded. Yeah.
It's a lot of content.
It's a lot.
Much of it free. The rest of it you can get on Patreon. Mm-hmm. You know, as we mentioned, that also supports us, lets us keep the shows going, pays our rents and mortgages and all those things, mm-hmm. insurance, keeps our house hot, yeah. and lets us pay our producer, Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen. Also composed and performed our theme music for this show.
Yeah. So until next time, you know, they're rocks. Mm-hmm. Don't be an asshole.
Rocks are a subset of minerals. You don't actually have to be like that.
Nobody likes a pedant.